Good evening, GBC. My name is Marlon Erasmus. It's good to see a lot of older faces and newer ones. It's a privilege for me to bring you God's word tonight and for GBC to give me this opportunity to minister to you. You can turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1. This Psalm chapter 1. We'll be going through the entire psalm. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let us pray. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we are all poor sinners, O God. We are weak, we are slow to listen, O Lord. Please speak to us as we just sang, O God, that you would speak to us, instruct us in your way, that we would walk according to your law. Lord, help us, give us a heart that is receptive. May we not harden our hearts against your truth, but may we delight in your law, and so walk in the ways that you've called us to walk. Please strengthen me. Please exalt our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Many of us have probably heard someone say that. Sometimes we ourselves even use this phrase. It's a common phrase. We've all heard it before. We often use it, or people often use it, when they want to say that life is going too good at this point for me to be worried about anything. And these days, we often look at blessing and we look at our spiritual, our financial state. We see that because we have money in the bank, our investments are doing good, we are definitely blessed. Someone once told me to come and see how the Lord has blessed them and how blessed they are because their house has been renovated and things are just going well with them. Sometimes we even come to church to receive a blessing, meaning that we hope the pastor will say something nice so that when we leave, it makes us feel good. Well, brothers and sisters, according to the scriptures, and especially according to the Psalms, blessing is often related to one's position in the Lord or one's relationship with the Lord. And tonight we will see that to be truly blessed is to delight in the law of the Lord and so flee wickedness. Our text today in Psalm 1, in the Psalms, Psalm 1 is the introductory psalm of the book of Psalms. It sets the pace for how we read the whole book. It centralizes the law of the Lord. In fact, the largest psalm in the book of Psalms is literally about delighting in the law of the Lord in Psalm 119. And we see today the blessed man is the man that actually delights in the law of the Lord. And so just like the people of Israel, when they received the psalm, received God's word, they had to know that true blessing, true blessedness, or to be blessed, means to delight in the law and in his word. And in that same way, may we also know that the way of true blessedness is to delight in God's word, and in that same way that we may flee wickedness. And so my prayer and my hope tonight is that all of us will truly find our greatest delight in the law of the Lord and be satisfied in Him alone. And in this same way that we would flee the way of the wicked. And so, as we see in Psalm 1, Psalm 1 sets before us two ways for God's people. There's a way that leads to blessedness, and there's a way that leads to perishing. The way of blessedness is verses 1 to 3, and the way that leads to perishing is verses 4 to 6. But not only does the psalm show us two ways, but it also shows us the end of those ways. It doesn't just tell us there's two ways in front of us, it also shows us where does those ways actually end. But first, we'll first look at verses 1 to 3, which is a way of blessedness. Let's read verses 1 to 3. Look at the first two verses. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Here we see that this blessed man, and here man is referring to both man and woman, both men and women, the blessed man is blessed because of two things. He does not walk, sit, or stand with the wicked, but also he delights in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it. The word blessing or blessed just means happy. It means to be happy. But it's not a flimsy type of happiness. It's not the happiness you experienced yesterday when the Springboks won, although you were probably very happy. That's not the type of happiness that he's talking about here. It's not some flimsy sort of happiness you feel in a moment and it is gone the next moment. No, this is true happiness and contentment that is found in the Lord himself. It doesn't change based on the weather. This is true happiness. It's not happiness that is determined by the pleasures of this world, but instead it's a happiness that is rooted in the law himself. As the text says, he delights in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it. But notice here in verse 1. Look at verse 1. What does this man not do? It first describes what this blessed man does not do. He does not walk, sit, nor stand in wickedness. Now, many people look at these three things and look at it as a sort of a progression of sin, right? You walk in sin, you stand in sin, and then you sit in sin. And it might be that. However, I think it uses here different words to describe the same thing. It describes the life of the wicked that the blessed man avoids. It says the same things in three different ways to emphasize a certain truth. And the truth that it emphasizes is that a man that is blessed does not dwell in wickedness. Does not walk in it, he does not stand in it, he does not sit in it. That's not his dwelling place. There's nothing to do with it. He avoids it. He does not associate with those who indulge in wicked things. And not only does it look like these verses are saying the same thing, but it's more than just that, right? Because it says here, they give specific stuff, specific things that this man does not indulge in. First, he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He knows the counsel and he knows where it ends and he does not walk in it. If he walks this way, he walks that way. It does not matter how popular the counsel of the wicked is, he still does not walk in it. And he does not take advice of those that is known to be plotting wickedness. He doesn't listen to those that hate the Lord. He also does not stand in the way of sinners. He recognizes that there's a way of the godly and there's a way of the sinners. And he walks in the way of the godly and avoids the way of the sin. He does not stand in their way. He avoids it at all costs because he knows it leads to hell. This man also does not sit in the seat of scoffers. Right? He doesn't share the company with those who scoff. He does not congregate with those who jeer at others and who mock others. Now, if we consider ourselves to be blessed, if we consider ourselves to be happy in the Lord, These realities should be true of us. And how often do we look to live by the counsel of the wicked that's branded in some type of Christianity, where at its root, the things are ungodly, but because some Christian personality speaks about it, then all of a sudden we believe it. The counsel of the wicked are everywhere, and we should be vigilant not to walk in it. And so we should ask ourselves, when we look at our lives, when we look at the different things that we do, do we follow the counsel of the wicked? Or do we follow the counsel of the Lord? As parents, do you raise your children by the latest research? Or according, as the scriptures calls us, in the fear of the Lord? Do we follow the counsel of the wicked because it's popular? Right? We'll be accepted. Because you know that if you follow the law of the Lord, you'll be called a bigot. So you want everyone to accept you, so just go along with the counsel of the ungodly. These days, the counsel of the wicked are everywhere. And as parents, we should be alerted. In the UAE, there was a South African family whose son sadly passed away because he did some TikTok challenge and he committed suicide. These things are everywhere, brothers and sisters. We need to make sure that our children are aware of the ways in the counsel of the wicked. And for the teens, it may look like the counsel of the wicked is more popular or more fun than that of your parents who's training you in the Lord. It may look like they understand you, right? They know what you feel. But they are only dragging you down with them to hell. And so beware of the counsel of those that are ill, that have ill intentions, that is dressed as it's from the Lord. The devil often comes as an angel of light. But God did not leave us ignorant. He spoke to us, and He gave us His word, and He gave us His law, which is good. And because it is good, we must delight in it. So we know what the blessed man does not do. But what does he do? This man has his priorities straight. Instead of giving his time and his energy to the wicked, he delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. Notice he doesn't just like the law of the Lord, right? He doesn't just believe, oh yeah, it's God's word, it's true. No, he delights in it. It's more than just liking something. It's truly delighting in reading God's word. And to delight something is to truly enjoy something, to be truly satisfied by something. Like when your spouse makes that delicious dish for you, right? You absolutely devour that plate. You don't need to be asked if you want seconds because you delight in it. In the same way, this blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. He doesn't have to be forced to read the scriptures. He doesn't have to be begged, brother, read your word. No. This man delights in the law of the Lord. And he meditates on it day and night. And day and night basically refers here to the entirety of the day, from sunrise to sunset. Constantly, this man delights in the law of the Lord, and he constantly meditates on it, he constantly thinks about it. He constantly fills his heart with the law of the Lord so that he may not sin. And this is the reason he does not walk in wickedness. The reason he does not walk in wickedness is because he has the law of the Lord on his heart. God's word dwells richly in him. Because he delights in the Lord. And something to notice here is that it's not just that this man does not do wicked things. We often think in our Christian life it's just about stop sinning, right? Don't do that or don't do this. But it's an active delight in the Lord. It's an active delight in the Lord. It's to turn away from sin and to delight in the Lord. That's what repentance is. Repentance isn't just stop sinning. Stop doing the wrong thing. But it's actively delighting in the law of the Lord. Because the more we delight in God's word, the more our appetite changes for holy things, so that we want more holy things. And so we should actively seek to delight in meditating God's word. And this is not just the New Testament. It is all of the scriptures, not just the red letters, not just Paul's epistles, but all of it. Because all of scripture is good for us. The Lord has given all of scripture for us. All of it is profitable for teaching. So let us all give ourselves over to the law of the Lord in order for us to walk in this blessed way. So I also want to emphasize again that this is delighting in meditating on God's word that we see this blessed man does here. This is not a 2-minute read before you go on your way to work so that you know I've read today, I've read my Bible reading today, I'm fine for the day, I'll do it the next day. This is meditation, slow meditating on God's word. You know, when you marinate that chicken or that meat before you put it in the grill, you let it sit and let it soak. In the same way, we soak the Lord's word into ourselves. We sit in it. Meditation here doesn't refer to Eastern meditation when you, when you empty yourself and try to reach nirvana or whatever the case might be. But it's to fill yourself in the word of the Lord. That's what it means to meditate on it day and night, constantly filling ourselves with God's word. And let me be clear, we don't do these things for us to become Christians. We don't do these things to be saved. We don't delight in God's word in order for us to be saved. The Psalms is written to God's people. And if you are not a believer here today, if you have not bowed the knee to Christ, your appetite is still ruled by sin. It doesn't matter what type of moral stuff you're doing. No amount of good works is going to make you delight in the word of God. Nothing. Only a changed heart that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ will change your heart. Because when the Lord opens your eyes, then you will see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then the Lord will himself will change your heart so that you may turn away from wickedness and delight in him. And you will receive the forgiveness of sins. So verses 1 and 2 gives us a description of the character of this blessed man. So now verse 3 gives us a visual picture. It gives us an illustration of this blessed man. Here the man delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it. He is likened to a tree that is planted by streams of water. He yields his fruit at the right time, and his leaf does not wither, and he prospers. This is a picture of what it means to be a blessed man. This is not the new teaching in the psalm. This is just a picture of verses 1 and 2. A tree that is planted at the right spot, and because it's planted at the right spot, it prospers, it grows, it bears its fruit in season. Some of you that like plants, plant trees, you make sure wherever you plant it, you have your garden, it's at the right spot. When the sun comes out, it hits it. It's easier for you to plant. It's easier for you to water. This is a picture of this blessed man. He's planted at the right spot. And because it's by streams, he has what he needs in its season. And this is what happens when we give ourselves over to God's law, to God's word, and delight in God. We become like trees that bears its fruit in its season. We do not bear fruit because of our own delighting. It's not because I'm doing the right things and I'm bearing fruit. No, it is the Lord himself that says, if we abide in him, then he helps us bear fruit. It's the Lord is the one that produces the fruit. Because the Lord Jesus says that we can't do anything without him. But also notice that fruit comes in its season. Brothers and sisters, we don't always grow at the same pace. Some other believers grow faster than us. They bear much fruit in a shorter time than us. The Lord gives us gifts according to his grace. We can't compare our spiritual lives to others. But once we are rooted in the Lord, We will bear fruit in season. The Lord determines that season. We don't determine that season. So don't look at your fruit, but look in Christ who provides the fruit. So the psalmist gives us in verses 1 to 3 the first way, which is a blessed way. The second way we see in verses 4 to 6 is the path of the wicked and their end. Let's read verses 4 to 6. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. If we look closely at verses 3 and 4, we see it gives us two pictures. Picture of the blessed and the picture of the wicked. Verses 3 is a picture of a blessed, a strong tree. And verses 4 is the picture of the wicked, chaff, that the wind blows away. But verse 4 says, the wicked are not so. Not how. They are not like the blessed man who delight in the law of the Lord and meditates on it. They are not like that. And because they are not like that, they are like chaff. Chaff are basically the clothes of wheat. So when people that does when it's time to glean, when they take the wheat, they would often throw the wheat in the air, and the wind will blow the chaff away, so that the stuff that they want stays, which is the wheat, and the chaff that they don't want gets blown away. So chaff is light work. This is the description of the wicked, and it's meant to show us that the wicked is the opposite of the blessed. The light chaff is the opposite of a strong tree that prospers. So the wicked are easily tossed. They're easily tossed to and fro by the seasons of life because they're not rooted in the word of life. They are neither here nor there, but they are rooted in the things of the world. And sometimes you might say, well, you know, I know this ungodly family, and they always have stuff. Always have the latest car. Their house are bigger than mine. Children have better education. This doesn't look like chaff, brother. This looks like a strong tree. But the reality is that they are building on sand. They are building on sand. Because we see later in God's word, it says that the way of the wicked will lead to perishing. They will not be able to stand in the judgment. But also, as much as this is a description of unbelievers, this is also a warning for those of us who are believers. If you are not rooted in the Word of God, you will be tossed to and fro by any wind of doctrine, any wind of philosophy, any new teaching, anything that makes the Christian circles that comes and goes, you will be taken away by it. If you are not rooted in the truth of the scriptures, you will be tossed away by any false teachings that comes by. Any new teaching that will come will sweep you away, especially when something is popular. So beware. Beware of setting aside the living word of God for what is new, for what is nice and fresh, for what is popular. Verses 5 and 6 tells us here the end of the wicked. It tells us where the path leads to. Look at verses 5 and 6. It tells us where the end of the wicked leads to. In these last two verses, the psalmist contrasts the end of the wicked with the end of the blessed. The wicked will perish, but the righteous won't. He says, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor will sinners in the congregation. Here we see similar language that we saw in chapter 1. We see the standing and we see the sitting. And because the wicked dwelt in wickedness, they won't be able to stand in judgment and dwell with the righteous. Instead, they will perish. Why do they perish? Verses 5 tells us. Look at verse 5. Therefore, shows us that whenever we see the word therefore, we should always ask, what is it therefore? So we always look back. And it tells us the reason that the wicked will perish, the reason that the wicked will perish is because they did not delight in the word of the Lord. All goes back to delighting in God's word. This is the end of those who chose the wide gate. This is the consequences of those who set aside the word of the Lord and delights in wickedness. The end leads to destruction. It leads to hell. It shows that in this life, there's no middle ground, right? You don't have one foot in and one foot there. You either chose the way that leads to destruction or you choose the way that leads to blessed. There's no in between. You either walk the path of the Lord or you walk the path that goes to hell. But not only will they not stand in judgment, they also won't stand in the congregation of the righteous. If we look at verse 5, both lines are parallel to one another. Or verse 5. They are conveying the same idea. The wicked goes together with the sinners, and the judgment goes together with the congregation of the righteous. So in this way, we see the idea of verse 5 seems to be that the wicked will be judged. They won't stand in the judgment of the Lord because they fall short. They can't stand. They don't have the righteousness that is necessary for them to stand. So they can't stand. And because of this, they won't be numbered with the righteous. They won't be numbered with those who will stand in judgment, who the Lord himself find righteous, which is the congregation of the righteous. So if you look, they are found to be dwelling with the congregation of the wicked in verse 1. Those same people who are found to be dwelling in the congregation of the wicked in verse 1 will not be found to dwell with the congregation of the righteous in times of judgment. So the wicked will not be with the Lord. When the Lord comes to take his people, only the righteous will be taken with him. So the righteous here doesn't seem to be just people who live righteous lives, but the righteous here are those who are found to be righteous in God's sight, who found to be righteous in the judgment of God, those who are declared to be righteous. And so the question is, will you stand in judgment? Will you be able to stand before the Lord when you will be judged? Will you stand with the saints when the Lord comes to fetch his bride? And what will be the basis of your judgment, of your standing? What will be the basis of you standing in judgment? Will it be the fact that you've been to church all your life? That you've been a member at Goodwood Baptist for the last 30 years? Surely I will be standing in the judgment of the Lord because I've served the church for 30 years. Perhaps because you've made a confession of faith when you were 13 years old at one time and you were baptized. Or maybe because you've been brought up in a Christian home and you believe that the Lord will be gracious to you and merciful to you because your family is a Christian family. Or maybe because you've been a good person. You're not a perfect person, but at least you're not bad like most people. Well, there's only one reason that anyone can stand in the judgment of the Lord. And that is not in the righteousness of his own, but in his righteousness of another. Because no human being will be justified by the law. No one. Righteousness only comes through the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that we can become the righteousness of God. So do not look at your own piety. Do not look at your own good works. For certainty that you will be found righteous in God's sight. But instead, look to the cross of Christ. Look to Christ who stood in your judgment and took judgment upon himself. Look to the man, Jesus Christ, who is the only one who could sit with sinners and not become like them, but made them like him. Because this is why we who were once scoffers, we who were once sinners and wicked, he made us righteous. Look to Christ, who is the true God and true man, who not only stood in judgment, but took it. He took our judgment. And so that those who want to be truly blessed delight in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is the Word of God. He himself is the Word of God that came to delight us, that came to enlighten us, so that we can delight in him. There's no other way to delight in Christ. There's no other way to delight in the Word of God unless you yourself are enlightened by the Word itself. Because Jesus is the only one that can turn a congregation of sinners into a congregation of righteous. So look to Christ, who is the true, the blessed man. Verse 6 again reinforces the truth of the psalm. It summarizes the way of the righteous and it summarizes the way of the wicked. It says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." The fact that the Lord knows the way of the righteous is not necessarily an intellectual knowledge. But it means that the Lord is aware of this way. The Lord knows this way. The Lord is with us in this way. As we walk this path of the righteous, the Lord knows the path that he's setting us on. The Lord is not ignorant of the path. The Lord knows what lies ahead of the path. Like a shepherd who leads his sheep, the Lord knows the way he is calling us to live. Because the Lord Jesus Christ showed us the way of the righteous is the way to the cross. The way of the righteous is only through the cross. It's not through riches. It is not through becoming dominant and becoming great. But it's by going to the cross. It's by identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The way of the righteous is often self-denial, making no provision for the flesh, walking in repentance, dying to yourself. That is the way of the righteous. The way of the righteous is true happiness, this true blessedness found in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And as we've seen, the way of the wicked is the way that leads to death. It's a way that will lead to perishing. It has always led to perishing. It has always led to death and will always lead to death. So, what does it really mean to be blessed? What does it really mean to be happy? To find true happiness? Is it indulging in wickedness, in our flesh, in what makes our flesh happy? Our fleshly desires, is that true happiness? No. It is delighting in the law of the Lord. True happiness, true blessedness comes by delighting in the law of the Lord and in the law, the Lord himself. Because indulging in wickedness leads to feared judgment, which no one will stand if you don't have Christ. Let us pray. Oh Lord, Heavenly Father. Father, we are weak, Lord. We are weak. We are pitiful, O God. We like a dog always going back to its vomit. Help us, Lord. Help us that we would delight in your word. Help us that we would walk in the truth of your word. That we would not treat your word as it's just another opinion. But that we would actually delight in the Lord. May your word be as sweet as honey to our soul, O God. May we search for it more than we search for gold or for riches. And also help us, O God, that we would not walk in the wicked, in the counsel of the wicked, nor sit with the scoffers, nor stand with the sinners. Help us to be faithful to your word, Lord, as you've been faithful to us, even in our fallings, even in our weakness, O God. Even when we do listen to the wicked, even if we do stand with the sinners, O God, you've still been gracious to us. And so help us, O God, that we would live according to the law of the Lord and delight in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive this benediction and go in peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the love of God, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Amen.